Good morning. It's certainly good to see everyone here this morning. We're so thankful for all of our visitors. We hope that you will come back and be with us every opportunity that you have. Next week, as you know, we won't be here. From Southwest, Steve Lloyd. I work with Steve every day, but you know, I don't know if I can say senior moment yet, but I guess I can maybe use that if you please. But Steve Lloyd will be with you next week. Steve was hired this last year to come and work with the school. Steve has known Don Walker for many, many years. Steve is from Chino, California. He was with that congregation, I believe, for over 20-something years. And so he'll be with the congregation next week speaking, preaching God's Word. And so I know you will be edified and be encouraged. I'm glad Steve is going to be able to be here. I know that you will like him. And so I'm looking forward to Steve being here and allowing the congregation to have the opportunity to hear him. He's a very, very good man. Please keep us in your prayers as we will be away for a week, spending some time in God's creation, camping and spending some time on the water fishing. And we're not taking any styrofoam ice chests this time, so I think all will be well. It's certainly good to be here this morning, and I'm thankful that we have this opportunity to direct our minds on God's Word, allowing God's Word to build us up, to educate us concerning spiritual things. This morning I want to talk to you about the Bible doctrine of the resurrection. And as we think about the Bible doctrine of the resurrection is one of those intriguing concepts. Some find it difficult, even impossible, to believe in the resurrection. I'm reminded of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God unto salvation." Some would hear the doctrine of the resurrection and would think that that is the most foolish thing that they've ever heard. We also see in Acts chapter 17, as Paul was preaching on Mars Hill, when the Athenians in verse number 32, heard about the resurrection, it says that they mocked the Apostle Paul. Again, they heard Paul up to a certain point. But when Paul began to talk about the resurrection, they began to mock. Even the Jews of the first century were confused about the resurrection. They had mixed views about it. For example, in Matthew 22, verse 23, we read about the Sadducees. And the Sadducees didn't believe in a bodily resurrection. The Pharisees believed in a bodily resurrection, but their concept of the resurrection was a little different. They believed that only the righteous would be raised. But Jesus makes it clear in John 5, verse number 28 and 29, that there would be a general resurrection of both the just and of the unjust. And then there were even those Christians who doubted the resurrection. They were confused about the bodily resurrection. And Paul is going to spend a whole chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 directing their thoughts around the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul will make this point in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 12. If Christ be preached that He rose not from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now you stop and think about that. Paul was writing to Christians. And some Christians were confused about the resurrection, saying that there is no resurrection from the dead. And in fact, we can add a little bit more to that. When you turn over to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and you read 17 through 19, we read about Hymenaeus and Philetus. And they were overthrowing the faith of some. But you remember what they were teaching about the resurrection? They pointed out, they were teaching that the resurrection had already passed. And they were overthrowing the faith of some. Well, this morning, as we center our thoughts around the resurrection, I don't want us to be confused. I don't want us to doubt the resurrection. And so what we want to do with our time this morning is we want to talk about the resurrection. We want to see what the Bible has to say. And to do that, we want to start at the beginning. We want to go to the book of Genesis and look at the patriarchal period. And we want to consider what the patriarchal period reveals about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The first glimpse of there being life after death is found in Genesis chapter 5, 22 through 24. Where the Scriptures talk about Enoch who walked with God and was taken up. Now as you look at Genesis 5, 22 through 24, you may want to write down Hebrews 11, verse number 5. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read about the heroes of faith. In Hebrews 11, we see the writer talks about Enoch who was translated so that he should not see death. As we go back to the book of Genesis, another example that comes to mind is Genesis chapter 22. In Genesis chapter 22, we read about Abraham who would go to Mount Moriah. And remember, the Lord commanded Abraham to offer his son upon the altar. Now, as we look at Genesis chapter 22, we see that God was testing Abraham's faith. And so Abraham goes to the mountain and he builds the altar. He puts it into order. He puts his son upon the altar and he pulls his knife. And before he slays his son, remember the angel cried out, "Abraham, stop." And Abraham did. And remember, a sacrifice was provided. Have you ever wondered in your mind, would Abraham have slain his son? Would he have really done that? Well, again, we turn our attention back to Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. And we can see that yes, Abraham would have slain his son. And Hebrews 11, 19 tells us that Abraham believed that God would be able to listen to it, raise him from the dead. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to open to the book of Job. Another example under the patriarchal dispensation is found in the book of Job. In fact, Job is going to ask the question, Job 14, verse 14, if a man dies, shall he live again? And as you look at the book of Job, you see Job and his three friends going back and forth discussing different matters. But turn over, if you would, to Job chapter 19. Job chapter 19, and I want to just read two verses. Job 19, I want to read verse number 25 and verse number 26. Job says in verse 25 of Job 19, he says, For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. What is Job speaking of? What is Job talking about here in Job 19, verse 25 and 26? You look at it carefully, and if you keep in mind their earlier discussion about life after death, Job was talking about a bodily resurrection. And so what we can conclude from the patriarchs is that God, through His oral revelation, suggested the idea of life after death, which involves some type of body, of resurrected body. Now let's consider the Mosaic dispensation. Well, what does the Mosaic dispensation say about the resurrection? Well, let's turn over to Deuteronomy 32. There's a couple of passages that I want us to look at together this morning. In Deuteronomy 32, we see in verse 34 through 43, we see that God, or Moses, talks about God's mercy and God's vengeance. But I want you to notice Deuteronomy 32, verse number 39. Deuteronomy 32, verse number 39. See now that I am He, and there is no God with me. I kill, listen to it, I make alive, I wound and I heal, neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. The average Israelite that looked at this would conclude that there is life after death. Let me give you another example. If you would, turn over to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Now, as you're turning over to Isaiah chapter 26, we see that this is Isaiah's song. And as he sings this song, he is thanking God for strength. He is thanking God for peace. He is thanking God for God's righteous judgment. But look at Isaiah 26, verse number 19. He's talking about Israel's salvation. And one of the things that the Israelites would experience is life after death. Look at Isaiah 26, verse number 19. Thy dead men, listen to it, shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For the dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Remember what I said. This is a song of praise. And Isaiah is praising God again for the strength that he receives from God, the peace that he can experience from God. He's praising God for God's righteous justice. But here in verse number 19, he's praising God because of the resurrection. As you think about the Old Testament and as you think about the Mosaic dispensation, there are three documented cases of individuals being raised from the dead. The first is found in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 17. We see that Elijah raised the widow's son of Zarephath. And then you have 2 Kings 4, verse 32. We read about Elisha raising the son of the Shunammite woman. And then in 2 Kings 13, verse 21, we see Elijah's last prophecy concerning victory over Syria. And we see that Elijah died and he was put in the grave. It's an interesting context because another man died and they took that man and they put him in Elijah's grave. And the text says that when this man's body touched Elijah's bones, this man was revived. He came back to life. And so there is strong affirmation concerning the resurrection from the patriarchal dispensation, but also the Mosaic dispensation. And so as we think about the Bible doctrine of the resurrection, the Bible doctrine of the resurrection shouldn't be a strange thing to our ears. Now let's just spend a little time as we focus on the New Testament. Because when we turn to the New Testament, the doctrine of the resurrection comes to full bloom. There are many cases of the bodily resurrection. And let me just give you a couple examples. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 24 through 25, we read about Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead. In John chapter 11, probably one of the most familiar stories, we read about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. In fact, as we're going through the book of Mark, we're going to point out toward the end of Mark, not only were the Jews trying to kill Jesus, but they were also trying to kill Lazarus because of the testimony, because of what it revealed, because people knew that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And so not only were they trying to kill Jesus, but they were trying to kill Lazarus. And then after Jesus was crucified on the cross, he gave up the ghost. In Matthew 27:52 and following, we see the resurrection of the saints. They were raised from the grave after Jesus was crucified. But the book of Acts also talks about individuals being raised. In Acts 9:40 through 41, we read about Peter raising Dorcas from the dead. We also read about Paul raising Eutychus from the dead because of Paul's long preaching. You remember that story. He fell out of the window and he killed himself. But again, Paul raised him from the dead. And so we see the resurrection throughout all three dispensations. But the fullness of the resurrection is not seen in any of these cases where a person is raised from the dead to re-inhabit their mortal body only to die again. But there is one case where we see the fullness of the resurrection, and that is in Jesus Christ Himself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and as I said, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians is really a key chapter concerning the resurrection, the Bible doctrine of the resurrection. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 20, that Christ was risen from the dead, and listen to it, and has become the first fruits of them that slept. What does that mean? Jesus was the first to die and to be raised to never die again. Now, as we kind of put all of this together, what does the resurrection mean for us? Well, let me give you several thoughts to consider. And this is really the application of the resurrection and why the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so important. According to 2 Timothy 1, verse number 10, by dying on the cross and by being raised from the dead, it says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 10, that Jesus Christ abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He abolished death and He brought life and immortality to light through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Another verse. In Romans chapter 1, verse number 4. I like this one. Romans 1, verse 4. Jesus Christ is declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection of Christ. Now you think about all the miracles and how the miracles confirmed who Christ was. This is the pinnacle of all of that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Christ being raised from the dead declared Him to be the Son of God, who He claimed to be. Now another important verse, and we keep mentioning 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. But as we think about 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, we see that the resurrection is a important element, an important part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans 1 verse 16, we learn that the gospel is God's power unto salvation, and that's what Paul declared in Romans chapter 15, 1 through 4. He preached the gospel. They received the gospel. They stand firm in the gospel. But what did Paul preach to them exactly as he preached the gospel? Read it very carefully. He preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is an important part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As you think about what Paul preached in in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, Acts 18, verse 8 sheds light on this context of 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Because in Acts 18, verse 8, Paul is speaking about the Corinthians. Acts 18 serves as the background to the establishment of the church in Corinth. It says in Acts 18 verse 8, the Corinthians hearing. What did they hear? 1 Corinthians 15, they heard the death, the burial, the resurrection. The Corinthians hearing believe. What did they believe? They believed the gospel, which entailed the death, the burial, and resurrection. But there's one more point that you see in Acts 18, verse number 8. The Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized into Jesus Christ. They were baptized into Jesus Christ. Why were they baptized into Jesus Christ? Because baptism is the only way that an individual can reenact the death, the burial, and resurrection. You see, just as Jesus died on the cross, so must we die to the practice of sin. Just as Jesus was buried, so must we be buried. Not in a grave, but in a watery grave of baptism. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Colossians 2, verse 12. Baptism is a burial. And just as Christ was raised from the dead, so are we raised from the deadness of sin when we are baptized into Jesus Christ. You see, that's how we obey that form of doctrine. And you'll notice how all of these passages, they harmonize. They're like a piece of puzzle that you put together to see the big picture, if you please. Romans 6, verse 17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. What is that form of doctrine? The death, the burial, and resurrection. Paul says you obeyed it. This is key. You've obeyed it in form. That is, there is something that we must do that is in the likeness of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. I'm giving you two examples. You have the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, Acts 18. And then you have those at Rome, Romans chapter 6, verse 17, with Romans 6, 3 and 4. They were baptized. That's how they obeyed that form of doctrine. The death, burial, and resurrection. But I'm not done yet. I'm not done. Listen to it. I've just laid the foundation why the resurrection is so important. And here it is. If we associate ourselves with the resurrection of Christ here on earth, another way of saying that is, if we associate ourselves with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ by being baptized, by obeying the gospel, hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, repenting of our sins, confessing Christ, and being baptized, again, we associate ourselves with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We have hope of eternal life. What does that mean? We have hope of being raised from the dead, never to die again. We're talking about a bodily resurrection. Oh, I realize And you can be turning over to John chapter 5 as we kind of bring this lesson to a close. I realize, as I pointed out from John chapter 5, that there's going to be a general resurrection. Yes, there is. But listen to John 5, verse 28 and 29 very carefully. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice, and they shall come forth. Listen to it. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Remember what I said, there's going to be a general resurrection of both the just and of the unjust. But those who are going to be raised unto life must associate themselves with the resurrection of Jesus Christ while on earth. They must associate themselves with the sacrifice of Jesus. And we do that by being baptized into Christ and walking in newness of life. Romans 6 verse 4. Being faithful unto death. Yes, if time continues on, we will pass from this life. We will put off this physical tabernacle, this physical body. But God promises us, 1 Corinthians 15, that He will raise this body. Oh, it won't be like the physical body. It's going to be a spiritual body that's fit for eternity. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, for we know that if we put off this earthly tabernacle, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this, Paul says, we groan. Oh, we learn so much about the resurrection as we journey through the Bible. The patriarchal dispensation, the Mosaic dispensation, but the resurrection comes to full bloom when we come to the New Testament. And as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning, we understand how important the resurrection of Jesus Christ is. My question to you this morning is this. Have you associated yourself with the resurrection of Christ? Have you associated yourself with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ by being baptized into Christ, so that you could have your sins washed away, so that you can be raised to walk in newness of life, so that one of these days God will raise you from the dead and to give you that spiritual body raised unto life. Everybody will be raised, there's no question. But only those who prepare themselves for eternity will be raised unto life. If you never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, this morning we encourage you to do so. If you've already obeyed the gospel, but if you're not living faithfully to God, we encourage you to come to your spiritual senses, to come back to your first love, to repent of the wrong, to be restored in a right relationship of Jesus Christ, and having this hope. Friends, the hope that we talk about has to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as Paul says, if there be no resurrection, we of all people would be most miserable and we would be dead in our sins. To know that there wasn't life after death, we would of all people be miserable, but we're saying the opposite this morning. Because of Jesus, there is life after death. Are you prepared for eternity? If you're not prepared for eternity, we pray that you will do so this morning as we stand and as we sing.